So hear now the word of the Lord from Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there's just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God, my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what you've asked, what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel goes on to explain this dream of the king and what it is and what it means. And we pick it up again in verse 44. And the dream, of course, is about a statue, a big, great statue of gold and bronze and iron, and a rock out of nowhere comes and smashes this huge statue. And each part of the statue, each metal of iron, bronze, or gold represents a certain kingdom and king. And so in verse 44, "In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy." Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. I saw an interesting sign one day from a protester who seemed to be protesting the protesters on a street corner. He had a big sign that read in good protest fashion, "What do we want?" And it said, "Time travel." And then it said, "When do we want it?" And then it said, "It's irrelevant." I love that sign. When do we want it? It's time travel. Time travel is always fascinating to me as a child, and especially in science class. We studied quarks and the theory of relativity, the speed of light, and whatnot. If I could only go back in time, I thought, I could prevent maybe something bad from happening. Or better yet, if I could go back in time, maybe I could take back or not say some of those hurtful words that I used. Or if I could go back in time, I could actually do something instead of just sit there and maybe watch something happen. I could fix my past. I could control my destiny if I could only travel in time. Actually, as I thought about this week, grown men and women are constantly trying to fix their past, trying to control their futures and control their destinies, even today. If they know something bad is going to happen, then maybe they could change that today by their behavior, or they could do something. What power we would have if we could know what our futures are. Movies like to toy with the idea of time travel, too. And they have fanciful, they give fanciful thoughts of, you know, what if we knew who wins a race or who wins the Super Bowl? If you knew that ahead of time, boy, what would that mean? Often, though, I think the movies play on our desire to be gods ourselves, that ancient sin of pride. If we could just travel back in time or forward, then we could be the saviors. We could be the healers. We could be the controllers of our destinies and that of others, too. It always seems to begin with good intentions, but it always smacks of power-mongering to me. Think about what power one would have if one could travel throughout time. Of course, we do have the sages, the mystics, the shaman, the astrologers today with us who think they can accurately predict the trajectory of human history and even individual human personality based upon, let's say, the movement of the stars in the sky or the planets. Some believe they could tell you your future by looking at the palms of your hands. Or they could toss the chicken bones and look at their arrangement and they can say, "Ah, this is where you're going in the future." They'd be happy to do that for you and for a price. The wise men, the sages, the mystics, and astrologers of Daniel chapter 2 were right when they said there is no man on earth who could reveal the mystery of the king's dream. There's no man on earth who could reveal that. King, you're just being ridiculous and unreasonable here. Nobody can do that. They were right about that. Just think, if I were to come up to you this morning and ask you, what did I dream last night? No, you tell me what you dreamt, and then we can help you interpret it for you. They were right about the need for supernatural wisdom and revelation, but dead wrong that it was impossible. God's sovereign control over the nations, over kings, over powers and principalities in this world, on our earth today, comes to light again in this second chapter of Daniel this morning. As Daniel prays for wisdom and God reveals, answers his prayer and reveals this secret wisdom to Daniel. The Bible shows us that God is ultimately the revealer of mysteries. But first of all, this morning, as we begin our passage, the passage begins with the king who is troubled, right? He's had these nightmares, these bad dreams, and they're really troubling him. Now, I think that he's probably had bad dreams in the past, and he's probably called an astrologer, he's probably called a mystic to come and explain the dream to him in the past before. And he probably got the idea that they looked at their books and they came up with something fanciful. And the king's wondering, why am I always the hero in my dreams? You know, why do things always work out wonderfully for me? But this time, it's different. This dream really troubles the king. In verse 1, we read these words. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. Oh, sure, said the wise men of the kingdom, we can do that. Just tell us your dream. We'll render an interpretation for you. You see, the kingdom of Babylon had all sorts of resources, military, political, medical, the arts, engineering, and spiritual aids of all kinds. Note the variety of aids that the king employs here. The magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers, he calls them all. He must have had some really bad dreams to call all of his metaphysical staff to his bedside. And isn't it interesting that he has such a wide array of metaphysical staff to come to his side? Babylon must have been, and the king must have been so concerned about losing their power, losing their control, losing their possessions, that they needed to know the future. They needed to know if they were about to be attacked by somebody. They needed to know which nation to go to and to take over next. And so they had their metaphysical staff right there to help them try to figure out the future. Now the king has had a very troubling dream. He seeks answers. The wise men are confident and they can offer an answer, but they do not immediately understand what the king is asking, do they? Don't just interpret the dream for me. He wants the dream itself. Oh, we will interpret it, the wise men say, with confidence in verse 4. I mean, they have their books of symbol, dream symbolism, like we do today, too. Their sorcerer's guide to the galaxy, their astrologer's chart of the stars in the sky and what those stars are supposed to mean for humanity here on Earth. They're pretty confident they could come up with an interpretation for the king, but the king doesn't want their book reports anymore. He's not seeking psychotherapy. The king wants supernatural wisdom, a wisdom that cannot be found in the books or in the stars or in the palms of your hands or in the arrangement of chicken bones. He wants someone to actually tell him the dream and interpret it for him. Whoever can tell him what the dream actually was, that's the person worth listening to. So the practitioners of paranormal studies, the metaphysical misfits, they go from this matter-of-fact confidence of, oh yeah, sure, king, we can interpret it for you. We've done this before, you know that. To this bewilderment, to helpless desperation. King, you're unreasonable. We can't do this. It's fascinating, though. Remember in Daniel chapter 1 where the temple in Jerusalem was ransacked when Babylon took over Jerusalem. And the articles and the sacred relics in the temple were taken out of the temple and they were placed in the temple of the Babylonian gods, to be used there. Well, in ancient symbolism, that would indicate that the God of Israel, Yahweh God, was defeated by the Babylonian gods. And that would be a clear sign to the Babylonians. And to all human eyes, the Israelites and Israel's God, they were the ones who were helpless, exile in Babylon now. But really, now with the king's bad dreams and the incompetence of his metaphysical staff, the Babylonian gods are the ones who are unable. They're the ones who are helpless. In fact, we don't hear anything about the Babylonian gods here, do we? Nobody called them up. Nobody put them on retainer. Nobody prayed to the Babylonian gods to seek for help for this dream of all these wise, so-called wise men of Babylon. That's because the gods of Babylon, they're way up there somewhere. They were right. No man on earth can know your dream, king. Only the gods know that. And they're way up there, out there in the stratosphere somewhere. And they don't bother themselves with human affairs here on earth. That's where the gods of Babylon were. So that's why they weren't called up. Nobody prayed to them. They knew their gods wouldn't help. You see, the Babylonians have only earthly books and techniques that are of no heavenly use. The king picks up on this, I think, and he's looking for something more. This was a really troubling dream. It had to mean something, and something important, and he wanted to know what it was. I think that happens for a lot of us, though, when we've tried it all before and have been found wanting, when we've done the drug scene and didn't satisfy, or when we've plunged to the bottom of the bottle, this thing called spirits, and we've come up empty inside. When we've tried to fashion all the fashionable and the politically correct religions of the world, and we're still seeking something more. Something that only God knows what. I think a lot of us in our world are looking for something more than the pursuit of power and possessions, and wealth and fame. Many of us, like the king, are seeking answers to spiritual problems and questions. Or maybe you too have had troubling dreams. You haven't found them in the stars, in the palms of your hand, or in the bottle, or in the tea leaves, or the arrangement of chicken bones. The answers we seek, the freedom we long for, the hope that we desire are found only in the one true living God. Who, as Daniel prays in verse 21, he's the one that changes the times and seasons. He sets up the kings and he deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and understanding to the discerning. He reveals the deep and hidden things. And I like this. He knows what lies in darkness. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. My favorite verse, by the way. He reveals the deep and hidden things, not just of geopolitical issues or major issues of nations, but he reveals the deep and hidden things in our hearts and our souls, too. Those things that we keep down, that we keep hidden, and far away from anyone else and far away from God. Light dwells with him. He reveals those things, brings them out into the light. They may be healed, cleansed, or set free. Daniel, of course, is one of those wise men of Babylon that the king chooses to execute if he doesn't discern the dream. But where the wise men admit they are helpless and unable to give an answer, Daniel believes that the God in heaven, his God, is able to reveal the dream, the mystery. So secondly, this morning, Daniel has divine connections. It says in verse 14 that Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death all of these so-called wise men of Babylon. It also says that Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Good thing to do with the person who's out to kill you. Daniel asked to see the king, and he asked the king for some time. Now, this is interesting. The wise men of Babylon, in verse 8, they are charged by the king for trying to buy time. Oh, you're just trying to buy time because you know that you can't come up with an answer, and you know what's going to happen to you. The king was saying that in verse 8. Here, Daniel gets to sleep on it. This exile from Jerusalem, he gets to sleep on it. I think the difference is Daniel actually believed that his God was able to reveal the dream. All the wise men of Babylon, they didn't have any hope, any chance of revealing this dream. Daniel says, I know somebody. I know who's able to do this. Did he know for sure that God would reveal this dream to him? I don't think so. But he knew his God was able. God is the revealer of mysteries. Of course, this revelation was meant for the king of Babylon. And again, hear how this story may have been encouragement to the people of Israel who are in exile. They too probably had many bad dreams about their future as a people. And Daniel shows that their God is not defeated. But not only that, the God of Israel is very much in control of human history, even to the point of speaking to a foreign, a pagan king through his dreams. That's how powerful the God of Israel still is, even though his people are in exile. This is an encouraging story for the people who are demoralized. Though evil abounds in this world, Yahweh, God, reigns supreme over all, and he is moving history in the direction that he wants it to go. Daniel's a perfect model of how to live under oppression and persecution. He keeps the faith, he works hard, he's wise, he speaks with wisdom and tact. He goes to God in prayer. He calls his friends around him to pray for him as well. And he praises the God who not only knows history or knows the future, but the God who controls all of history, the God who controls the future. Daniel knows that the future is not determined or controlled by planetary or stellar forces or the passing of Venus between the earth and the sun. The future cannot be predicted by human power, magic, or wisdom, or human books or charts. The future, God's plan, God's will, can only be revealed. Can only be revealed by the one true God. Then Daniel comes before the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he says in verses 27 and 28, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he's asked about." Those wise men of Babylon were right. No man can do this. But, he continues, verse 27, 28, "There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." And the key point here is not that there's a God in heaven. Most people believe that. But the key point here, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, reveals secrets to human beings. There's a God in heaven who loves people, human beings, very much, that he is involved in the affairs of humans. So Daniel goes on to explain the dream and its meaning to the king. Like I said, the dream is about a very large statue, an enormous, dazzling, and awesome thing to behold, where the head was of pure gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, the feet of part iron and part baked clay. In the dream, a rock, seemingly coming out of outer space, appears. It was cut out of the mountain, so to speak, but not by human hands, it says. The rock strikes the foot of the statue, causing the whole thing to crumble into tiny pieces, pieces so small it becomes like dust that the wind comes and blows it all away, leaving not even a trace. That's what it says about this dream. And the dream concludes with that rock that took the statue down becoming this huge mountain and filling the whole earth. What is this rock? And now the interpretation, the head of gold wasn't the King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel says. And the different metals and the clay, they represent different kingdoms in the world. And the clay and iron feet, they represent a divided kingdom. And then from outer space comes this rock, cut not by human hands, smashing the statue. This is what we read in verse 44, where the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. He will crush the other kingdoms and yet will itself last forever. This is what will take place in the future, Daniel says. And like with the minor prophets, there is a near future fulfillment of the prophecy, and there's a far future fulfillment. The near future fulfillment here is, well, Babylon will pass away. Persia will come. Rome will come. The kingdoms and the kings will come and go. One will overtake the other. And that's the idea of the head and the different metals of that statue. And eventually, the far future fulfillment is that God's kingdom will come. Like the mountain in the dream, God's kingdom will fill the whole earth. And you see, Daniel shows a new future. Not a future where the earth is destroyed by fire and brimstone. Not a future kingdom that's up in space or up in heaven somewhere out there. But a renewed future here on earth. A new lordship over the whole earth. And King Nebuchadnezzar is dumbfounded by Daniel's knowledge of his dream. Surely God is with this guy, he says in verse 47. Surely your God is the God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. the king is a believer, at least for now. He forgets about the content of the dream itself. And why does it matter? If God can reveal this sort of dream to his servant, this God is surely in control of the future, whatever it happens. And this head of state learns an important lesson. He is not in control. He is not God. And I believe that that rock, not cut by human hands, is Jesus Christ. Jesus, who initiated the downfall of worldly empires, established the reign of God's kingdom. The early church father named John Chrysostom thought that this rock, not cut by human hands, represented the virgin birth of Christ. Christ is the rock that smashes every power and authority, every principality that sets itself up against God. He is the stone the builders rejected, who has become the capstone. God the Father has hurled the Son to the earth and demolishes the kingdoms of human pride, power, and control. And through his church, Christ continues to advance the kingdom of God or the rule of God here on earth. And so, as members of his kingdom, as members of his church here on earth, we continue to pray, "Your kingdom come, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven." And the kingdom of God is advanced here on earth, for example, when life is valued and a crisis pregnancy is offered life-affirming options versus abortions. The kingdom is advanced when children in Haiti with very little to no clothes are clothed. The kingdom is advanced when a judge refuses a bribe and makes a just decision. God's rule is at hand when debts and trespasses are forgiven and people lay down their right to revenge. When undeserved grace is offered and received. God's kingdom is at hand when people pray and call for their friends to pray around them and for them. When they seek solutions to their spiritual problems in life from the revealer of mysteries instead of going to the horoscope or the palm reader or the guru. The kingdom of God is revealed when diverse groups of people gather around the table of the Lord on the Lord's Day, displaying their unity and their oneness in Christ. For the whole world, past, present, the future, is in God's hands, for he's sovereign over all. He moves the hearts of kings, presidents, and prime ministers. He's able to help you, too, in times of trouble. He's able to move idols and tyrants from your life. You believe God is able? Let us pray. We'll pray following with the Lord's Prayer, and the words are in your bulletin. Eternal Father, sovereign God of all, thank you for this encouraging story from Daniel, from your holy word. Lord, when it feels like we have been taken exile, like we're living in a foreign land which mocks and rejects you, remind us, Lord, that you are still in control. When there are so many who claim to be able to offer us hope with their magic tricks, their magic rocks, ancient words, Lord, turn our hearts always to you in prayer. For our hope and our trust are in you as the only true God and revealer of mysteries. Where there are deep and hidden things lodged in the dark recesses of our hearts, shine your light, O Lord, and bring healing, we pray. Restore us, O Lord, to a place of confident hope in you, and move us to prayer and praise. Give us the desire and the endurance to do the work of prayer, that we may know you more deeply, and so live according to your ways this week and always. And hear us now, Lord, as we pray the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.